Stop Podcast, official podcast of the Funny Stop Comedy Club. This is your host, Matt Brady. My co-host, Devin Connor's not here. He's out with the show, so we've got a fill-in guy here who works at the club. Say hi.
Hey, what's up? Tim Danko.
That's Tim Danko. And our guest here is a repeat of one of our... He's actually one of the biggest listens we had on the podcast, Mr. Bill Squire.
Hey, everybody.
Mr. Soft-Spoken.
Oh, yeah. I'm very soft-spoken.
Well, Bill, we watched your set tonight. It was great. Awesome.
Thank you.
One thing you said on stage, you dressed sloppily, right?
I don't own any clothes because I lost weight, so I'm not going to invest in clothes until I get to the weight that I want to be. So it's a lot of just, like, thrift store clothes.
Well, that's funny. I brought you something.
Oh, you did?
I really did.
You son of a bitch.
Here, I got you all this there, buddy.
Oh, because you are a thrift store magician.
As Danko said, I'm thrift store fresh.
Okay, let's see what we got here. I've got a nice coffee table art book.
Do you know who Richard Crumb is? From American Splendor?
Yes.
Harvey Pekar?
Yes.
That's the artist of
it. He's the artist of it. Okay.
That's all of his artwork from when he was a kid all the way till he died.
That's fucking amazing. How much did you get that for?
Eh, I don't want to talk numbers.
All right. I just like to know the deals. I like deals.
Well, if you really want to know, I got that book for like $4. That shirt was brand new.
Yeah,
the tag came off when I got it. I think it's like paper or something in denim.
Oh, yeah.
Should be your size.
A large, I might have to work a little bit for this, but it gives me a goal.
There you go,
so
man.
I appreciate it.
You'll look handsome.
I will look handsome in about another month.
That bag's yours if you want it too, man.
That's Brady's thing. He hooked me up with some clothes too. The same thing happened to me.
I'm not going to take that. But
you're not going to take a toy machine.
I mean, I feel bad taking it because it's a fucking great backpack.
Yeah, I know. I got a brand new leather one over
here.
What's that?
You said you paid a dollar for it?
I'll take all your
stuff. Yeah, I got that thing for a dollar. I knew you'd like Toy Machine because I listened to the Lousy Weather Media podcast you did. Talked about how you like pop punk.
Yeah.
So if you're like
skateboarding. Pac Sun back in the original day. No,
dude, you don't even know. Yeah, it's funny. No, I was listening to that because, dude, when you were talking about how you used to like Phoenix TX a lot.
Yeah.
The one album that had like the kid that was kind of like dressed like the Hamburglar or whatever.
Yeah.
That one album, that's, dude, how old are you, Bill? 32 or something?
33, yeah.
33, okay. I'm 26.
Yeah.
Danko, how old are you?
27.
Okay, so we're all kind of close age.
Mm-hmm.
My first like girlfriend, I made her a mixtape on a Talkboy.
Oh, fuck. And like the one from...
Yeah, the Home Alone Talkboy. And I did that on a cassette. And I recorded, because I liked Phoenix TX. And I really liked that song Threesome on the album.
Okay,
and it wasn't because I was trying to get into a threesome with her. It's because she was trying to get into a threesome with me and my best friend. So I made her a mixtape with only that song on repeat. And then I put Two Live Crews, Pop That Pussy at the end.
How'd it work?
Oh, she's a bitch.
Yeah.
Subtle.
Didn't end up how you wanted.
Well, I don't care. She was a real stinkeroony. But no, because I was like with Newfound Glory. Did you hear about the one dude from Newfound Glory? He was Chad, the bald-headed guy that used to play guitar in the band Terror.
Didn't he, was a pedophile or kill himself or did something?
It was like the pedophile stuff. They found him. It was like pornography or child pornography.
That's Newfound Glory.
Yeah, I think his name's Chad or Steve.
What's it with pop punk guys from then? Like the singer of Lost Prophets.
Music,
same thing.
It's music for 14-year-old girls, so it makes sense.
Yeah, maybe. But the guy from Lost Prophets like about a year ago.
Same thing.
Lost Prophet guy was nasty. I wouldn't consider that pop punk though.
Whatever. It's a bit closer ish. You
know. I was really into.
That was a stretch, Danko.
It was a stretch.
No, I don't care.
No, did you listen to... we talked the other day, Texan. You talked about how we'd listen to the Mark Maron Obama podcast.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
You know, everyone's focusing on him using the N-word, and, like, it's... Like, that's... He talked a lot about education, mm-hmm. and, like, you know, how he came up, and just... It was a really humanizing thing where I think people should listen to that and just see, like, okay, this is a man. This, I think when you see someone in a public... office like that, it's so easy to just say this person is so terrible, so awful, and you hear him actually talk about things. And I think Obama's been a great president. I have health care because of him. Like he's been a good guy overall. I mean, he didn't do everything that he wanted to do, but I feel like he did some good stuff, and he's pretty you know, I like that he's talking about how he's fearless and shit like that, and then I relate to being a comic, and you go, yeah, I can talk about shit too that people don't want to hear, and then make it into something that they can kind of stomach a little bit more, and that's kind of what he was getting into with, that if he could run now, he's like, oh, I'd run a flawless campaign, he'd be fucking badass, and I like that part of it. So you see that guy that's got this drive, and he's very well-spoken, and we all knew that. And then he talks about his kids, and he gets and talking about Newtown, how fucking mad that made him and stuff like
yeah.
that. I just enjoyed it a lot, and especially like talking about education and how that shit needs to get fixed in a hurry.
Yeah, you said speak with education. I have to get ready for that because I'm getting ready to have a son.
Yeah,
I have a son here coming up in a few months, and it's funny I'm bringing that up because my mom called me today because I'm naming my son Rowan. Because I'm Irish, and my girlfriend, the one having the kid, she's Irish, so she wants to have like an Irish name. So my kid's name is going to be Rowan Kelly. And my mom called me to tell me that with all that transgender stuff all over in the news, everyone's talking about the Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce yeah. Jenner stuff. She said that in the top names for transgenders, Rowan is up there in the top 10.
Boy, like for someone.
It's just whatever.
Just whatever.
So I thought that was kind of
yeah,
weird.
And then it makes it, yeah. If he's transgender, then he's got his name already.
Yeah, what that means is it's unisex. Like Jamie. Right? Is it the same thing?
Well, I didn't think it's that unisex. I think it's kind of a badass name. So if someone's transferring from like a lady to a man, you want to be Rowan because that's a fucking cool name.
What would your lady name be if you had to be a lady?
If I had to be a lady, probably. I'm gonna go with She-Ra McTight Pussy.
She-Ra McTight Pussy. What about you, Danko?
All one word.
Probably a name of some sort of car. I drive an Aveo, right? Okay. Everyone has names of like cool cars. No, shitty car. Aveo.
Aveo.
Aveo is my name.
Are you gonna be
Chevy celebrity?
Now?
What?
You're gonna be like Rachel Dolezal and just become black too?
That's well, a, if I think it's a black woman. Lady. I feel like I can.
Yeah,
you know,
why not
be
change
both.
It all?
Yeah, why not? Right, exactly. I'm also gonna become left-handed. Why not?
You're crazy,
right?
Mine would probably just be Natalie, because I think that's a real sharp, ugly lady's name.
Sport. Natalie?
Yeah.
There's a girl I went to school named Natalie, and she was real cute, so I have good memories of Natalie. But I can think, like, Natalie is probably overall a ugly girl's name because of facts of life.
Wait, was that the fat girl? The big girl's name was Natalie?
I thought it was. I don't remember.
I don't remember. I haven't seen that show in forever.
I can't help you with facts of life.
Maybe that she was the good-looking one. I don't remember.
There was a couple of good-looking girls that could get a poke in the 80s.
The thing that, like, I looked at them as not attractive when I was a kid because I thought beauty was, like, makeup and stuff like that, but I bet if I looked at them now, I'd be like, oh, I would do all of them.
But yeah, there's another thing I had in here. The, with you talked about it on stage tonight, so I'm not going to go into your material or anything, but with the politically correctness that has to be, like, instituted into stand-up comedy now.
Yeah, I mean...
How do you feel about that?
I don't think it has to be instituted into stand-up comedy. I think you just have to be funny enough to make something that can be upsetting to someone else funny. Like, I talked about the church shooting, mm-hmm. and I feel like I did a good job of making that situation funny. And mm-hmm. you can play the clip if you want. It's awful things happen, and a lot of people use humor to cope with those things. So when you are saying, now there's people that do things that are hateful or angry in comedy, and you gotta let them do that. You gotta let people do that shit, because then you get to know. And I like to talk about things from every single angle. So like, I'll talk about Caitlyn Jenner, and I appreciate everything she did, but also it's still ridiculous, and it's still, you know, there's jokes to be made.
I think we're allowed to say, like, what the fuck when you hear about that stuff.
Like, right, like, we should say what the fuck, because it's not the end of the world if you say, like, just because I make fun of you doesn't mean I don't accept you.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, if I make fun of you, it means I'm more accepting of you, because someone that's boring and has nothing to make fun of is not someone that I'm around. But I'll be friends with someone that is fucked up and weird because I hang out with comics and they're fucked up and weird.
Isn't it the, what comics' job has been for a very long time is to say what everyone else is thinking but won't say?
Yeah, in a way. Like, yeah. It's to do that, but also to push the limits of what is acceptable and not acceptable. And there's two sides to that coin. So there's what the PC social justice warriors have to understand that when you're trying to stop people from saying things, you still need people that are going to say things that are upsetting and new and different to have that balance. You need that balance. So yeah, there's going to be people that get upset by things, but that doesn't mean we should stop saying it. I get upset by things. People say mean things to me because I'm on the radio and stuff like that, and they most of the time they don't mean it in an angry or mean way. They're just trying to fuck around with me, and it's how I perceive it.
Well, I did a little, not like a show, it was like an open mic, but it's like a mixed open mic I did on Saturday, last Saturday, a couple days ago. It's like a performing arts theater type thing.
Uh-huh.
They welcome comedy openly.
Yeah.
But it's more like you have to, I don't say be politically correct, because like I said, I'm getting ready to have a son. Yeah. I do a bit on stage about accidentally showing my son my dick.
Yeah.
So he grows up thinking my dick's as long as his arm for the rest of his life. So they're fucking cracking up.
Which is
up
something
that
you do to your kid. Like, I still think my dad has the biggest dick because it's the first dick I saw. And I know it's not the biggest dick, but I don't ever want to see it again because I want to think of my dad as having the biggest dick.
Exactly. So
not in, like, a sexy way, but, like, in, like, a... Like, I respect
anecdote
him.
To tell
yeah.
people. Funny thing about my dad.
Yeah, but I'm doing a whole bit, and they're fucking cracking up. And then I went into, like, a joke about watching To Catch a Predator with my nieces. You've heard that one, Danko.
Mm-hmm.
It's not mean. There's nothing to it. But what I'm getting is, after I did the bit, everyone's laughing. And then some random dude in the audience just yelled out the word rape at me and pointed at me.
Yeah, and that's the thing that people are extremely sensitive right now, because girls are, you know, this whole rape culture thing that people talk about all the time.
That's bullshit.
I get it. Like, I get, like, it's upsetting to some people, but I also know a lot of girls that use rape humor to get over to what happened to them. Like, they've said to me after shows, or, like hanging out, like, they'll get to know me and be like, you know what joke I love the most? Your rape joke about married rapist.
That's
rape. And, like, they'll be like, and they'll say that, and they'll be like, I it makes me, it reminds me that you're not a rapist. It's a joke. And that there are some guys out there that, like, and it, like, helps them somehow. So you have to understand that some people can't ever, like, they get raped and they can never talk about it again. But some people will go, oh, I was raped, and boy, are my arms tired. Make a fucking dumb joke out of it.
That fucking married rape joke, dude, I'm not lying to you. I don't know if, I think I may have told you
yeah,
this
you
first
did
thing.
Tell
yes,
me.
Fuck, I'm going to say it on the podcast cause in case anyone didn't know. First fucking time I heard Bill was on Opie and Anthony. I've been listening to Opie and Anthony for fucking ever.
Uh-huh.
And it was in the car crash comedy. Was it 09?
Yeah, it was around then.
I think it was around then. And you fucking won, and you said that bit. And, like, the first couple times I did stand-up, I, like, panicked. And that was I swear to God, that was the first thing that popped in my head. And then I met you, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm an asshole.
I gotta stop doing this.
No, I wasn't doing it.
Joke.
I did it one time
yeah.
at open mic, but it just made me feel like shit when I met you. I'm like...
Eh. Feels... I like that you came clean. And,
I mean, what I do? Keep doing it on stage? And
yeah.
Then,
now, yeah.
Then you call
me. I don't care. I don't really do that bit that much anymore. I'll do it once in a while, but... I know you don't do it, but it's almost a little flattering to be like, oh, someone's doing the jokes.
See, it makes me feel like such a dick because it just popped in my head and done that. I had a comic steal a couple of my bits.
It happens.
I've had
people. Who's stealing
steal
from
stuff.
You?
I've got some fucking killers, man. Yeah, you don't need to laugh.
Maybe they're just punching it up for you.
maybe.
Kind of pissed me off.
And that's all you gotta do is, like, go and talk to them, be like, hey, don't do that. And then if they keep doing it after you've talked to them, that's when you get mean.
And you get the army going.
Yeah.
To other comics, hey, this guy stole my joke, and the next thing you know, I can't get on any shows.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I've run into a lot of comics that have done that. When I used to host that one open mic, there was a comic that would always come in, do the same exact 5 minutes, and it was I can't remember the name, but it was a famous comic, like 5 minutes. He would do it every time,
yeah.
And I ended up telling him you can't go on anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's the right thing to do because you can't steal people's material.
That's what some of my favorite material from anyone is stuff that you pretty much. Yeah, people could steal it, but it's like if something's real super personal,
yeah.
You can't take it. Like I do stuff about me having Tourette syndrome,
mm-hmm.
And if you're doing Tourette syndrome jokes and you don't have Tourette syndrome,
you're just a
deserve
huge asshole.
Yeah, exactly. People will ask me, "Do you really have Tourette's?" I'm like, "What a dick do you think I am?"
That's like all my best stuff is the stuff that is from my life and it's organic and
right.
It's got a little feeling behind it. And right now I'm like working on some stuff that is a little newer and trying to weave it in with. Stuff that I'm a little more like I've told like the Mormon stuff like,
mm-hmm.
That's going in a lot of different directions right now, like we're talking about my grandpa and some of the other aspects of the Mormon belief system and then bringing that in with like the Philippine story, which I've been doing for a long time and trying to make all that stuff a little fresher and remembering like, oh, I gotta perform this stuff, like I can just go into the Philippine story and I already know it all so well that it's just gonna crush most of the time, but then I remember, oh, I have to perform with the same enthusiasm that I perform all the stuff that I'm excited about, because you know it's, you gotta find that that balance, make it good. All right, Pete's yelling a lot.
He is. All right, let's wrap it up. We're gonna get out of
cool.
here. Any last words you got for us, Mr. Bill Squire?
No, not really. Just listen to the Funny Stop podcast and things like that. Just
and listen to the Alan Cox Show.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, listen to
it's your prerogative.
All right, well, my name's Matt Brady, and my fill-in co-host this week is
Tim Danko.
All right, well, thanks a lot, guys. We're out.
Rapidly, it feels good to fit in. That's nice.